1983, it was a flair for the gold. And 1984, it was the Million Dollar Challenge. Now, it's Starrcade 85, The Gathering. Already signed for the world's tag team title, the Russian team will defend. No disqualification, no time limit in a cage against the Rock and Roll Express. And the NWA World Heavyweight Champion will defend his title that night. It's Starrcade 85, The Gathering. Thanksgiving night at the Greensboro Coliseum and the Omni in Atlanta. Miss The Gathering and you miss wrestling history.
Welcome back, my friends, to a very special star-studded edition of Baby Oil and Blow.
Star-studded?
Starcade-studded.
Oh, that makes it two R's.
That's what we call a
dirty old dish rag.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a old business move there. With you as always, it's me, it's the big time baby, Matt O. And my guy, sitting across the table from me, he is, I'm trying this one out here, is the Lance Cade to my Just Incredible.
Deep cut.
Yeah. I'm talking Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy. Lance Cade and Just Incredible teamed?
Yeah. No, Lance Storm. Damn it.
Oh, fuck.
Just start it over. Just start. I'm all Starcaded up.
Is that a...
Oh, you know why? You know why I said Lance Cade? Because of Starcade.
Oh, there you go. Star-studded. Our first star of the evening's Lance Cade.
And then it turns out that Lance Cade's a thing. Okay. Or was. He's dead, right?
They're all dead, man.
Oh, God.
You ever thought of an old wrestler yet and thought of for a while and it turned out they were still alive? That's not a thing.
Yeah. Nope.
Nobody's ever experienced that before. But, Starrcade 85, otherwise known as what? The Gathering?
The Gathering of the Juggalos.
Turns out, no.
I didn't see a single Juggalo.
So I don't get that straight right now. I
kind of bullshit.
Put that show on, sat through the whole thing, just waiting for at least, like, somebody who looked like a white trash clown to show up. At no point did they even mention anything about a clown.
I saw white trash, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
Southern white trash.
None of them had Hatchet Man on them anywhere.
No.
So that was kind of a bit of, right off the bat, just like sort of some false advertising as far as Starrcade 85 is concerned. And
felt like no one was going chicken hunting.
Stuck in my craw and put a bad taste in my mouth. Okay.
Really, you can wash that out with Faygo.
Grinded my gears. Was Faygo even invented in 1985?
Have to Bing that.
Yeah, you're going to have to put that right there.
Put that in the old Bing search.
Box. Put it
the
in
old
that Bing box.
Put it in your Bing box and smoke it, pal.
When did Faygo get launched?
I feel like
was that a regional thing for a while, maybe? And then like it went national?
It's got to be in.
What's the history of Faygo?
What do you think came first? 50-50 or Faygo?
50-50. Definitely had to have come first because I think that was extinct before Faygo.
You
was a thing that I ever listened or ever heard of.
Here's the thing, though. Well, maybe we should just do a night of gin and 50-50s.
You could find 50-50 out there. I'll put gin in it.
I think it's still around.
That's sort of a new idea that maybe we could start doing is just mixing gin with extinct beverages.
Yeah.
See which ones stand up, which ones are a no-go.
eBay, we're coming for you.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. Build up to that big Crystal Pepsi test. That'll be a...
Oh, they brought that back.
That'll be one people are super into. It's very in the current
gin and cola?
Talk. Did you just have gin? I didn't even know we had any on here. Starrcade 85.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk
about.
Of course,
is the Gathering because, I guess, not because there's Juggalos, but because they're gathering together all the biggest stars of wrestling because, you know, we're getting to that point where wrestling is dying and eventually, like, it's only going to be Jim Crockett and Vince McMahon. So Jim Crockett's gathering everybody who couldn't get a payday from Vince McMahon together and they're doing a big show, goddammit.
But the good news is there's one person they did not gather.
Who's that?
Old Davey Boy Crockett.
Oh, just right off at the beginning of this show, it was a breath of fresh air having old Bob Caudle in that play-by-play seat.
Bob Caudle.
Not having to listen to David Crockett drone on, but then, you know, there was another problem as far as the broadcast team goes. I'll get to that
later.
Yeah,
no, the big problem was I didn't know who had good arms because Davey wasn't there to tell me.
I could hear his voice in my head.
Oh, look at his. Oh, look at his arms.
Every time there was a good arm, I knew he was there in spirit. But Starrcade 85 starts off with some chugging heavy metal guitars.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pretty cool. Shot of a disco ball hanging from the ceiling of one of their venues. We got two venues. They were in
I was trying to figure that out.
Atlanta and...
That was a simulcast? Okay.
Yeah, somewhere else. Greensboro, maybe.
Greensboro Coliseum. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
And let's go straight into it. Let's go into the quick results of this show. Started off, like I said, we got Bob Caudle and Tony Schiavone on color and play-by-play, respectively.
And then who was it? The Greensboro
nice
Coliseum.
Nice little team. That man, you know, I've got it in my notes here.
Ready to die, Johnny Weaver. That's
Johnny
who.
Johnny Weaver. When I thought that I had gotten away from David Crockett, Johnny Weaver entered my life.
Seriously, he was just waiting to die any second.
Talk a little bit more about him later.
Okay.
First match, big... Mid-Atlantic title match. This is one of the many, you know, one of the many territories coming, gathering together. The Mid-Atlantic territory.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to give somebody their big title. It's either going to be Sam Houston, the young up-and-comer, or Crusher Khrushchev, the also young Russian with a Georgian accent.
And Bakhny.
Crusher. Crusher turns out wins this match with a sickle.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Houston's foot was on the ropes and the ref didn't see it.
Apparently the commentators didn't either.
A little bit of controversy straight off. I don't know why your first match you started off like this. Just blows the ref's credibility out of the gate.
Or why you don't acknowledge it.
Guy looks like a moron right off, and it's just like, oh, well, this is going to be a long night. The fucking
not very good at this
don't
job.
Even get one match in, and the ref doesn't know what he's doing, and we got a blown call. Yep. I was sitting in the front row. I would have been incredulous, and not in a good way. Moving on, this one's... big time. We've been talking about this for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That
baby.
Mexican death match, quote unquote.
That beautiful sombrero.
Mexican death match, which is really just a sombrero on a pole match. I don't know why they just call it that. Manny Fernandez, who, yes.
The Raging
brought
Bull.
Brought out, as Tony Schiavone referred to it, that beautiful sombrero.
There it is, that beautiful
put
sombrero.
Put it on the pole.
I like how he goes all Hank Hill when he says it. There it is, that beautiful sombrero.
That Tony Schiavone ain't right. Abdullah the Butcher. Is who Manny Fernandez is fighting over this sombrero. Apparently, Abdullah the Butcher wants a sombrero, can't afford one himself. This is the best way he can think of to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he doesn't get it because, you know, Manny grabs it after a boring bloodbath. Moving on to the big cowboy versus cowboy Texas bull rope match. Ron Bass versus Black Bart. If Ronnie Bass wins, he gets 5 minutes with Black Bart's manager, J.J. Dillon.
Now, correct me if
James
I'm...
James J.
Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah, you're wrong.
That
not
bull rope
close.
Is not just the bull rope.
No.
There's also a 10-pound cowbell.
Oh, yeah,
on
that
there.
Thing's 10 pounds.
Okay.
They knocked each other over their noggins with that 10-pound cowbell.
They get silly with it.
Over and over and over again.
They get
know.
Silly
what
with it.
What we know
it.
About concussions these days probably shouldn't be.
Or in that
made
case.
That like a 2 or 3 pound cowbell, maybe at most.
Or in that case, biting people's open wounds.
Well, yeah. They had Hep C back then. It was just,
apparently,
there was less of a stigma around it, so what's the big deal?
So you got Hep C.
Yeah, big deal.
There's actually the pamphlet they handed out at the doctor's office. So you got Hep C.
Uh-huh. Big whoop.
Big whoop. Want to fight about it?
It was in really, like, small letters. It was, so you got Hep C, and then quite larger ones. Big whoop.
Big whoop.
Ron Bass does win, of course, because you got to... pay it off with that 5 minutes of J.J. Dillon, but then he loses to J.J. Dillon in that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
When Black Bart just interferes and, you know.
Dillon looks like a genius.
Pile drives the shit out of him, and then J.J. Dillon gets a win. So, Ron Bass, you accomplished nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Moving on to that
speaking
big
of nothing.
Arm wrestling match that everybody is...
clamoring
just, yeah.
for.
Ugh.
Oh, they were hot.
Surprised
for it,
this
my
didn't
man.
Go on last, quite frankly.
Mm-mm.
The Barbarian versus superstar Billy Graham, the falling stars, Billy Graham, let's call him, because he's slipping down the backside pretty quickly at this point in his career. After a scintillating struggle that lasted 5 or 6 minutes, the guys pretending like they were arm wrestling real hard, Billy Graham wins.
Yeah.
And then they just brawl with each other and.
Quick pro tip, though, to Billy Graham. When you're selling an arm wrestling match,
sure.
quit letting go of the hold.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just keep your fucking hand on his.
You can't like be down on the floor, too.
Well,
stay seated
some
at
rules.
The table. This didn't seem like it was following the standard arm wrestling rules as I understand them from the movie Over the Top.
That's what all arm wrestling's based
None
off
of. None
of
this shit would have flown with Lincoln Hawk and
no.
the professional organization he was arm wrestling.
Driving around in his truck.
And then they just brawl everywhere for a while, and then, you know, after a while it ends for no reason.
Paul Jones interferes, and the match is over. We're not going to get back to this match, so I'm just going to get it out of the way real quick. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably come back to the
very
fact that the ring announcer...
We're not going to bring this up later.
Caught a hunch. Ring announcer all night is, like, giving people nicknames and, like, little things, little tags with their name.
He throws it in there. Like, this, wildly popular.
Yeah. Oh, vastly popular.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
That's a real one.
My favorite, though...
I just hallucinated that.
Might have been was one for the Barbarian. I don't know if you caught it.
No.
He's like, with his manager, Paul Jones, the Barbarian, Barbarian.
That's pretty good.
That's strong.
A descriptor.
Yeah.
Into a noun. It's a very versatile word, apparently,
Barbarian. The Barbarian.
Buddy Landell versus Terry Taylor for the National Heavyweight Title match. Not to be confused with the Mid-Atlantic heavyweight title match or the United States heavyweight title match.
Or the heavyweight
world heavyweight title match.
That Buddy Landell later confuses it for.
Yeah, this national heavyweight title's the one that's hanging around from when they took over Georgia Championship Wrestling. No, it wasn't Georgia Championship Wrestling. Used to be Georgia Championship Wrestling, which then after a changeover and management became Championship Wrestling from Georgia.
Oh, God.
And there was a bit of a dispute. Either way, the national heavyweight title's hanging around from that. Eventually, they cut us some slack and merge it with the U.S. title. But here, it's still happening. They still got people like Buddy Landell and Terry Taylor fighting over titles.
A prestigious strap.
Every single goddamn match having a title belt to it makes titles seem so important. What happened? Do I remember? Oh, yeah. Ref gets bumped. JJ interference backfires.
Mm-hmm.
But then it doesn't backfire because he just interferes again. And then Landell wins.
I liked that finish. Where JJ grabbed
Terry Taylor's going for the big super plexus finisher. JJ grabs his leg and Landell's able to reverse it midair and he gets a pin. I get that. I just don't get why having JJ try to interfere and fail 2 seconds before that. Like,
there was
just
a lot of questionable interference.
Broke up the flow of the ending, I think.
Looked good, though.
Yeah, yeah. That
just
ending,
give me that.
Here we go on. We got the national tag titles.
To the actual card now?
Not the world tag titles, not the U.S. tag titles.
No, sir.
We didn't get to see the Mid-Atlantic tag titles, unfortunately.
Damn,
I'm sure they're out there, though. I'm sure they exist.
Pez Watley and
somebody's
who?
Got to. I don't know. Ole and Arn Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, put together with the sort of a spiritual nature-loving tag team of Big Chief Wahoo McDaniel and the Oregon Ninja Billy Jack Haynes.
That's right.
We get some guy holding another guy's leg on the outside that the ref doesn't see in the pin finish. Yeah. Two in a row. That's
terrible officiating.
Yeah, there we go. Arn's the one that gets the pin on Wahoo as Ole's holding Wahoo's leg down. So, let's just finish two matches in a row the exact same way.
Yeah.
Moving on. Here we go. The U.S. title. A real NWA title. A real important one. Still sticking around today. We got a current U.S. champion, Baron Corbin, I believe.
Yeah, I think that sounds
young
right.
Cat with the terrible receding hairline.
You
gotta do something about that Baron Corbin.
Don't. No. He will tell you how you are worthless and you're never going to make any money.
Unless you are Macho Man Randy Savage or Hulk Hogan, you are not getting to that main event level with a receding skullet, brother. You got to shave that shit.
You be careful. I'm telling you. He's putting people on blast on social media.
That shit.
Don't say it. He's going to come at you and
back
say things
here,
that aren't nice.
Tully Blanchard was the U.S. title holder. Him and Magnum got that big, heated grudge match going over the issue of Magnum trying to rape Tully Blanchard's girlfriend, Baby Doll, the Perfect 10.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, I don't know. This is 1985, so Magnum's the good guy in all this, not Tully. Yeah,
it's the Harvey Weinstein days.
By the way, it's an I Quit steel cage match. The only way you can win is by getting somebody to say I quit, and Tully does quit after Magnum breaks up a wooden chair and sticks a big old shard of wood right in his fucking head until he bleeds
later.
All over the place.
We'll get all to it later.
Moving on to an Atlanta street fight. Midnight Express cornered by their manager, Mama's Boy, James E. Cornette versus Miss Atlanta Lively, Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant, his woman, Big Mama.
Oh, yeah.
These guys, they go out there, and it's seems like it should have just been a tuxedo match. Because
it was very confusing.
And Express are out there in tuxedos. The whole build was just around stripping each other naked. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really enter into the actual finish. It really is just a street fight for no reason, even though the stripping naked is what it's all been built around. And, you know, that's what the crowd wanted. That's what they were popping for. But either way, everybody bleeds all over the place.
Keep them guessing.
Miss Atlanta Lively pins Bobby after punching him. He was coming off the top rope, just punched him in midair, jacked his jaw, and he was knocked out. That lady pinned him straight up, and then the street people,
pretty cool.
Just like they promised, they stripped Jim Cornette down to his silly, silly, embarrassing boxer shorts that had hearts on them.
He should have thought that through a little better. Like, what if they're really going to strip me? Maybe I shouldn't wear such embarrassing shorts.
I agree with that. That just shows that he was overconfident in his men, the Midnight Express, going into the match.
I guess.
Here we go. We got another tag team match. This one for the NWA World Tag Team titles.
Do we have that one already?
In a cage.
What title is this?
In a cage. This is the big one.
In a cage.
Ivan and Nikita, the Russian champions, versus everybody's favorite pretty boys. Everybody's favorite young, in-shape pretty boys.
Not my favorite.
Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton, and his dead-eyed...
Oh, God.
His dead-eyed partner, Robert Gibson.
Oh. And, did he... whatever. Okay. He's working through
just
some
hold
things,
up, brother.
And so am I.
Ricky gets that pin on Ivan with a roll-up. But that's not the end of it, because, you know, the Russians are mad they lost the match, so they just start triple-teaming Robert and whip the shit out of him with a metal chain.
Yeah, we'll get back to all that. We'll get to all of it.
Ouch. Main event time. Main event.
Who was in that?
Oh, this one's for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
Your champion, Ric Flair. The man in the 1980s. If he didn't have the title, he was challenging for it. He's going up against Dusty Rhodes, whose leg he broke. He's back from the leg injury in a steel cowboy boot that's a
bullshit.
Big fucking handicap cheap piece of shit thing that the NWA is letting him do. And they shouldn't. It's dumb. Guy can't have a steel-reinforced cowboy boot and wrestle a match. You can't. But, doesn't really matter. Even though they talked about that cowboy boot for weeks leading up to it, Dusty just wins with a roll-up.
Yeah.
So Dusty's the new champ. New champ.
New champ.
For the moment, at least. Here we go. That out of the way. We can dig into the card in a more substantial way. Maybe pick out some talking points. Get into it. The highs and the lows with the five count.
Five talking points.
Big
That's
time.
A thing
five
we do.
Talking points. You want to start it off with your first talking point that you want to talk about? We can discuss.
I'll just
chit chat.
You know,
talking turkey on this Thanksgiving night.
I'm going deep. I mean, I skip like halfway through the pay-per-view before I want to talk about anything, so.
That's unfortunate for the pay-per-view. It doesn't sound like you're giving it a very good review.
I'm going all the way to the Andersons versus Wahoo and BJ Haynes. I don't know if you got anything before that you want to talk about.
Mine are more esoteric than they are timeline going.
That's a nice word.
Talking big picture today.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to.
Let's jump into it. You're talking.
Painting between the big pictures
what was
or
that?
Something.
What was that,
The national tag team title.
Okay, those are.
I just picked it because usually we pick matches.
Champions
and,
of Georgia.
You know, there wasn't a lot of talking points in this pay-per-view.
Match after match. No big, some post-match interviews, but other than that, no real segments.
No. So I figure this one works because you need to give credit to my guy, the Oregon Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Jack Haynes. You wanted fire.
His hair
he
was looking extra fluffy
gave
today.
You fire. He
and,
got out there.
Wahoo, pretty old, but he could still chop good.
Yeah. Yeah. Once they woke him up and were like, yo, Wahoo.
Yeah.
You got a match out there.
Fill out the card. The Road Warriors are wrestling in the AWA tonight. So,
how unfortunate.
We need a backup plan, buddy. Yeah. Dust off your old jangly boots and come out here and throw some chops.
And he did.
Yeah. Solid match, of course. Arn and Ole are in the match. Probably it's going to be pretty fucking solid. They're one of the best heel tag teams of all time.
It was good.
They take a great ass whooping. They're coming
out
of the
gate
in this. Like, They're really just, but
like the awesome part is like they're taking that ass whooping, mm-hmm. but still like controlling the match.
Oh yeah, you could tell that they're waiting for their just like when they're gonna slip in. When are these guys gonna make a mistake?
Like if you watch them closely, that whole match, like whoever's in the ring is constantly throwing a hand back, looking for a tag mm-hmm. or for their partner mm-hmm. to grab their hand for some kind of leverage move to cheat.
You know, these guys, they're it's not gonna stuff. Get knocked out here in the first couple minutes of a match. They've been around the block. They're beaten, they're hardened, they're gonna take a beating just so they can wait for you to mess up, and once mm-hmm. the mess up happens, they take over, and they take over with double teams. I don't think they did like anything this match where it was just like one-on-one fighting once they were on offense.
No, I don't think so. The entire time
it was just quick tags in and out,
double teams, hold on to a guy's ankle.
The crowd was getting so mad.
Oh, very much so. They kept
teasing the comeback and then cutting it off, making the crowd madder and madder and madder, make that heat build and build and build before you finally give them the good guys comeback. And then once they did, they went back to just getting the shit beat out of them and bouncing all over the place and begging off and looking like goons. And then
what titles?
And then they cheat to win.
Yeah, what titles were
classic stuff?
Wahoo and Billy Jack holding. They had titles too.
Maybe those were the Mid-Atlantic tag titles, but
or maybe they just made those belts.
Didn't get announced. It wasn't for their belts.
Best friend titles.
They really got to get rid of some of these belts. Yeah. You got to. Territories aren't coming back, guys. You're in the dying days. You got to accept it. You can't have all these titles on TV.
Back to what you said about the old leg grab, the cheating. Mm-hmm. There was other areas in the pay-per-view where it got to be a bit much, but like you said, it worked here. That's what the Andersons
great.
Do.
It's just you can't do the same leg grab finish two matches in a row. Like
Andersons can do it because it's a thing they do.
You need somebody like talking out there, though, like looking over the card. That's got to be the booker, I got to say, at this point. That's got to be Dusty, I think, is in the booker's chair.
Dust. And he seemed to. Big Dust.
I think Dusty's talking points were a little loose. Just like go out there and this guy's winning. Yeah. You can't just do that, man. You got to make sure that everybody's not doing the same shit in every match.
Yeah, this is the big pay-per-view, man.
This is the big pay-per-view, Dusty. What are you thinking?
We can't have six of you guys blading in a row.
That's my number one I'm going to talk about.
Hey.
Too much blood. Too much blood on this pay-per-view. There's two matches. The first one, the opener, did not get blood. Terry Taylor and
Buddy Landell, they didn't bleed.
Everyone else, they bled in this pay-per-view.
No, there's one more they didn't.
No, there couldn't have been.
Yeah, I want to say there was.
There was absolutely something going on in every other one.
Blood there.
People are just not even just bleeding a little bit, but
yeah, no, you're
blood.
Right. That was it.
Gushing blood. Yeah, I knew it. I paid attention to this shit.
Buckets.
People are gushing blood buckets in every single match. It just starts looking like nothing. It's just looking like people are playing in paint. And the matches that really need all the blood to be dramatic because you've got grudge going on, it's the thing where there should be blood.
Yeah.
Case in point, I'm talking about the Big I Quit steel cage match now that needed blood desperately.
That's going to be
by the time
two.
That came around, motherfucker, we'd already seen blood like six or seven times. Mm-hmm. Let's go down here. What are we? Billy Graham bleeds like a stuck pig after a brawl in an arm wrestling match.
No need for that.
Literally bled a gallon and just for no reason. It was an after arm wrestling match, just popcorn break, nothing.
Like, I get it.
Sombrero on a pole match.
Okay, but it's Abby, it's, you know, the butcher, he's coming with the fork, and it's like some crazy, like, Mexican deathmatch street
Starcade.
Fight.
Okay, not on Starcade. Either it's a pole match where you're trying to get the thing, or you're fucking cutting each other's heads open with, you know, forks. You're pulling forks out of your tights. Why both?
I'm saying if you would have taken the blood out of the Superstar Billy Graham match, so you had blood, like you said, in the Mexican deathmatch, and mm-hmm. then blood again in the Texas bull rope match. If you would have had two matches in a row after that with no blood, it might have been enough of a buffer.
Those are the two I'd have blood into. Instead,
there's no need for that
Atlanta street fight. It was built around stripping each other naked. That's what the fans wanted to see. There's no point in everyone bleeding.
No.
Just bleeding gallons all over that thing. Ronnie Garvin wins a match in drag. He's dressed in drag and just covered in blood, like a sickening amount of blood.
To the point, like, I was really worried about him at the end of that match.
Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes build their entire match around injuring each other's leg.
Yeah.
So you work a leg storyline. Instead, Ric Flair's entire head is just sopping wet with all this blood.
The whole right side of his head.
It's ridiculous. Like, you get Bloody Landell and Terry Taylor out there, the only... Well, two of the four guys who just wrestled a straight match.
Yeah.
It looks like a herd of cattle got butchered on the fucking mat. You know, we're making jokes about Hep C back then and shit, but come on.
I pointed out in my notes here that the canvas, by the time it was time for Flair and Dusty,
goddamn horror movie,
looked like a fucking Jackson Pollock painting.
It was, dear God, like how many dudes walked away from Starrcade 85 The Gathering with staph infection? It had to have been half the goddamn roster.
All of them.
And you know they didn't like fucking get rid of this canvas or like deep steam before they went to the next town. Like, they fucking just tore this ring down and then put it back up, and then everybody just wrestled on all that dried blood again. Literally, there's got to be 12 or 13 different guys' blood mixed in, just soaked into that fucking canvas. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's a real scene, man.
So that's my number one. The booker needs to look up and down his card, decide what's going to happen in every match, and then tell the people who don't need to do it because somebody else needs to do it, you don't got to do this.
Yeah.
Don't just pull out a blade on your own and cut your fucking forehead open.
No.
In a comedy match, or a goofball on a pole match, or an arm wrestling match.
That beautiful sombrero.
Blood on a sombrero. That's should have been called Starrcade 85, Blood on a Sombrero.
I love that Cougar Mellencamp song.
Oh, yeah, the Cougar. He really tapped
blood into, on a sombrero.
Tapped into like a Midwest salt of the earth thing there. With,
blood on
just,
the plow.
They've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number one.
So speaking blood,
mm-hmm.
goes right into my number two.
Okay.
Tully versus Magnum TA.
Yeah, I'm sure Tully versus Magnum TA is one of mine too, so we'll just call it my two as well.
Sure.
It's one of my favorite Starrcade matches
of all
time.
We'll talk about it. It's
spoiler alert, I'm not going to discuss it later when we discuss our favorite Starrcade matches of all time, because we're going to discuss it now.
Let's
call that three count, our memorial Tully and Magnum list.
Mm.
Great match.
Baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
She had herself a real good Thanksgiving. Did you take a look at her?
She's the perfect 10. She's got to put away 10 Thanksgiving dinners, I'm sure. You got to keep it going.
She looked like a perfect 10 plus 10.
A lot of fuel for the fire. A
lot of size in those shoulders when she was walking in the ring.
I remember, I think Starrcade 87 maybe was in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey, we got to go to this. I was like, oh, when is it? Thanksgiving night, let's go. And like, you know, my parents were like, well, no. Like, what was this thing back in the day where like all these people were going to wrestling on Thanksgiving?
That's why they held it in the South.
How could you
they
get your parents to take you to fucking pro wrestling after they were like cooking all day or like had a bunch of people in the house and shit? It's crazy.
Somebody was taking
Tully and Magnum just, God, man, grudge. Talk about grudge.
Yeah, it's just cool.
They were like wounded animals out there.
It was just cool.
Tearing
they're
and clawing
just like
at each
rolling
other.
Around on each other. And you know, what was it The Rock and Mankind who famously had an I Quit match years later in the WWF,
where The Rock just gave him like 12 unprotected chair shots, and
but it still wasn't even as savage as
that's
this
why he
is.
Got so into Santa Claus later in his life
because
from all the brain injuries that day.
Jesus. But like, you can learn something if you're gonna do an I Quit match. Mm-hmm. You do it like this, where you're just raining blows upon a guy's already bloodied head, and then you hold the microphone down by your dick right in the other guy's face, and you just yell, say it! Say it!
Yeah,
and the other guy's
it.
Just going, nah!
Yeah, just like a lot of great. If you're just like out there making horror movies or whatever, and you got to find some ancillary scream sound effects, you could pull some audio out of this
get
match.
Anything
like
that came out of Tully Blanchard's mouth.
Terrifying screams coming out of Tully and Magnum.
There's
no wrestling in this match whatsoever. Like, this is a grudge match. So they're not doing any collar and elbow tie-ups.
Mm-mm.
There's no headlocks. You don't see any like any choreographed spots or anything.
No.
Like, nobody's setting up a bunch of furniture because eventually I'm going to do a flip and
there
then
was like,
he's going to do a flip. No,
there was like one
tearing at each other's heads.
There was a off-the-top rope move that, like, if you don't even pay attention to it, you don't even know it's an off-the-top rope move. It's early on in the match. Magnum works Tully into the ropes and then against the cage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like smashing Tully against the cage. And Tully just like grabs hold of Magnum, throws a couple shots, and just like in between the ropes and the cage, just walks
just
up one, two,
up
three, and then just drops an elbow off the top rope.
He
it's like
he was a man backed into a corner.
Just, yeah, he just pulled a top rope maneuver without even like pulling a top rope maneuver.
He had absolutely no other choice. He was backed into a corner. He was desperate to survive. Magnum looked like a goddamn madman, especially by the end.
Oh,
when
he's
all covered in his blood. He's all covered in Tully's blood. He's just screaming.
He's
driving that spike into his face.
Well, before that, though, he not only has he busted open Tully's forehead, he busts open his bicep at a point.
Yeah,
and there's that, like,
I love when people blade parts of their body other than the forehead,
but
it's always a treat.
It's great because, like you said, there's been too much blood already and people have worked the forehead,
but there hadn't been up to this
point how much
more it would have, like, meant. And, like,
but, like, Barbarian,
how barbaric this would have seemed.
Barbarian busted Superstar and then, like, bit his head.
It was Paul Jones hit him with his cane.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
but either way, like, there was a Barbarian biting his head
earlier
on. But never mind that, because Magnum busts his bicep open and then is just rolling on the mat, biting Tully Blanchard's bloodied arm.
Yeah, not like making a show of it, like when, like, you know, you're watching lesbian porn and you girls aren't really lesbians.
He's just, like,
and they're
holding
just kind of hovering
the
around
the arm as tight as he can.
It,
like, I'm not letting you get this thing away from me.
He's swallowing blood. This is like the real lesbian porn. Magnum and Tully is like watching that real lesbian, that amateur shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Real deal.
Oh, real deal, Holyfield. Yeah, I don't know what else
and
to
then
say
the
about
finish,
this match.
The finish of the match, dude.
Spike is...
So, yeah, he beats him. He busts the chair open, drives it into his head. And then after he drives it in, you know, he's just wedging that spike into his forehead.
And people in the crowd, like, talk a little bit about how hot they are. Like, crowds don't get hot like this anymore, like, at all. These people are into everything. They're reacting to everything. So what that means is what they're reacting to when this shit is going on is they're screaming like they're in the middle of a horror movie. Like,
they can't believe what's happening.
Half of them are bloodthirsty, just like they must have been in old gladiatorial battles. The other half are just, like, disgusted, like, this, screaming out of, like, sheer terror.
Yeah, like, ugh, they're worried it's coming their way next.
This is a real shit show.
But the finish, man, this is what makes Grudge Grudge. This is how you end Grudge. This is, like, you need a finish to your story. This is it. He drives the spike into his head. Tully yells, "I quit."
Mm-hmm.
He gets up because he won the match.
And the U.S. title.
And the U.S. title. He looks back down at Tully with the spike still in hand, and he's like, "I'm going back for more."
Mm-hmm.
But he looks at the title.
Kill him.
And he just drops the spike. Looks over his shoulder at Tully and walks away. And it is a badass walk away. And he's just like, there's nothing to do anymore.
Proved his
point. I don't have to attack you again.
There's no more grudge.
It's dead.
We got rid of all the grudge.
That's a cool finish, man.
I groped your woman.
That's a cool finish.
I smooched her on live TV. And
almost
then I
pulled that titty out.
And then I murdered you inside of a steel cage.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing you could do about it.
Not a thing, man. Not a thing.
Yeah, we'll share that for a number two. You got a number three, or should I go to a number three?
I'll go to a number three real quick if you want.
Okay. Because
you probably ain't going to agree with it, but I got to tip my cap to my guy, the Boogie Woogie Man.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, yeah. No, he's doing
it,
baby.
I like this match. I like this
he's
match
doing it, baby.
You know, even though I think it's ridiculous that it was a street fight rather than a straight tuxedo match.
That's not Boogie Woogie's fault that they booked it that way.
Everybody bled everywhere. It was still a lot of fun. And if it was like the main event on its own show, it would have made a lot more sense. And it was pretty brutal. And I was into it.
There was a nice de-pantsing of Atlanta Lively at some point where you could see her penis.
The smallest clit, but I think calling it a penis is a bit insensitive.
I think it's... Jimmy Valiant, man.
He's fired up.
He puts on a clinic,
man. For this match.
You want to see street fighting? That's what he's doing.
People street fighting.
Yeah, he's got the official Street People USA shirt.
I got to say, it is hilarious on the part of the Midnight Express that they showed up to a street fight with street people wearing tuxedos.
Yeah.
Like, that's good form right there. Just like, fuck you, we're classy, we're the antithesis of everything you are. Like, you people are trash and we are the bourgeoisie, and you know, we're not even gonna get our hands dirty with you. And then they're humiliated when they get very dirty.
Here's my question to you: would you ever agree to a street fight with the leader of Street People USA, the Boogie Woogie Man?
Well, it doesn't seem very smart.
What do you think he's trained in, man?
I could see doing it is if I was also like a prominent member and we had the fight just to see, like, maybe I was going to be the new member, like, dethrone him.
Okay.
Yeah, like some sort of, like, garbage brawl or something.
Like a urban inner city Lion King type thing.
Definitely. That's what it'd be going on. I'd be the cool. Scar in this situation.
Scar, brother! Mm-hmm. Thumbs down, though, to Big Mama's shirt.
Yeah, she wasn't showing much cleavage.
Really covered up those tatas. Like,
I don't know. I feel like maybe she got some road rash on it or something. Like
maybe.
Jimmy wiped out his bike on the way there.
Oh, I hope he was wearing that hilarious t-shirt that says, "If you can read this, the bitch fell off," on the back of the shirt.
He was wearing the t-shirt. Was but, he? Yeah. You know, it was so dirty that you couldn't read the words on it anymore. God. So
The
joke was kind of ruined. Oh. But in spirit, he still had it going
on. That's my favorite motorcycle shirt.
It's a really good motorcycle shirt. Mostly it's my favorite because I can't really think of any other motorcycle. I guess there's the classic gas, grass, or ass. No one rides for free.
Yeah.
My dad definitely had that sticker on his motorcycle when I was a little kid.
Nice.
So that's the kind of stock I come from.
I just keep thinking about that Whiting joke.
Got a little bit of street people in me.
You sure do, man. That's why this rings deep inside you, resonates.
The girl asks you to kiss her where it stinks. Don't drive her to Whiting.
Love it.
That's that was my uncle, not my dad.
That was your uncle?
That was my uncle's favorite joke.
Well, it's mine, too.
Whiting's a very stinky town for people who aren't familiar with the Chicagoland area.
They all know. But yeah, so Jimmy Valiant, he's a good dude.
He's a great dude. I'm going to move on here, circle back around, talk about our man doing the post-match interviews, Johnny Weaver.
Oh, God.
Clearly a...
I'm going to sit this one out. You go ahead.
Clearly an ex-wrestler because he's got those forehead ridges.
Whatever do you mean?
Just as bad as a Dusty Rhodes or an Abdullah the Butcher where you could probably put a sack of Jawea Dollar in between the ridges that have
grown
in his forehead because he's cut them open and it's healed back together so many times.
Did you bing
clearly,
him?
Clearly, no, I did not.
Because I thought the same thing. I was like, this guy's got to be a wrestler.
By the time I got to the end of the Starrcade, I was so exhausted with thinking about any of this shit, I forgot to. So yeah, definitely an ex-wrestler, definitely a guy who probably took a lot of chair shots in his day because he could not form a sentence.
His eyes never sat still.
At one point at the very beginning, he called the cage match coming up, the big tag team cage match, a fence match.
Yes, he did.
What a fucking bozo, man. A fence match? Clearly you're a veteran in here. You've probably wrestled a million cage matches. You got to know how you're supposed to be trying to sell these matches and sell tickets.
Got a couple guys in a
old
fence.
As you are, you're calling this shit a fucking fence match?
Got a couple guys.
Like I was saying, David Crockett.
Serve a fence?
He could spit it out after a while. This guy.
Yeah, you could have had Davey doing
spit it out. Like, he couldn't get to the end of a sentence. And then so eventually he'd just stop and then just stare wide-eyed into the camera with a big dumb smile on his face with his, old denture-looking old man teeth. God. And, every once in a while, he'd just end a segment, 20 seconds before it was supposed to be ended. So it'd just be him staring into the camera, smiling for, an extra 20 fucking seconds every single time.
Just wondering.
He went
what
to a post-match interview. Whoever had just won or whatever and wanted to get themselves over more just had to work around this fucking dumb dullard in a fucking cheap suit standing there just interrupting them, saying nonsense.
Kind of like what he was wearing.
What is wrong with this company where all the people they're putting on the broadcast team are people who can't talk? These are you get the people who can talk the best, and then they're your announcers. They're your interviewers.
Yeah.
It's usually not ex-wrestlers. It's usually the guys who are around who are smart, like the office guys, guys with some vocab, not the old jocks who've been kicked in the head 12,000 times over the course of the last 30 years, and now they're just delirious and incoherent. Johnny Weaver, you're a bad backstage interviewer.
Johnny, fence match.
A fence match.
Well, like I said, he just looked despicable. Like he was waiting to die, man. Well, just waiting to die.
I didn't happen. Couldn't happen soon enough, if you ask me. Yeah. I was begging for him to die.
Hey, guess what?
Let's get some Missy Hyatt out there or something. It took him a few years to figure that shit out.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah,
don't
hot
get
blonde
me started.
Who can talk.
Ooh,
not a
baby.
Fucking old man who reminds people of the time their grandpa died and then they found him after 2 weeks of him just sitting around.
Where were his pants?
Decomposing, surrounded by stale cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Dorels.
Cheap bourbon.
Lay Nathan.
That's just an individual Nathan experience.
Run to the store and get me a pack of Dorels.
I'm too young to buy cigarettes, Grandpa.
Here's my ID.
I'm not sure this is going to work.
You were in the Korean War, damn it.
Where's my change?
Ooh,
bring me back my
true.
Change.
Yeah, you got to have change on that. Oh, he knows
don't
exactly.
Come back with change.
He knows
don't
exactly.
Come back at all.
Yeah. He knows how much that pack of Durrells is. I got a
Grandpa, they raised the sales tax, I swear.
You're a liar and the truth ain't in you, boy.
I guess he's taking it out of my hide.
Oh, that's right. Go pick out a switch in the backyard. I got a number 4.
Okay.
Back to wrestling?
Regrettably.
Yeah, I guess so. My number 4 is the Koloffs versus the R&R Express.
That's absolutely my number 4, too. We're probably just going down the rest of this card is our 4 and our 5 then.
But I have a feeling...
Going there together.
I have a feeling our 4 is 4 for different reasons.
Oh, okay.
You want to go... You want to let people know why you like the match
much? You seem to have something up your sleeve here.
No,
so.
I insist that you go first.
Oh, it's just... you know,
I got a bombshell.
Damn good cage match. The Rock and Roll Express. Great baby faces, greatest of all time. A cage match really gives them the opportunity to take a lot of punishment and sell, which is what they're good at. The more they sell, the more they get their ass beat, the more desperate it looks for them, the more the crowd's into it. Mm-hmm. The Russians are big brutes. So,
teeny boppers, we're screaming.
They're real good at just brutalizing people and making them look like there's no way they can win. So overall, it was a recipe for a good match, and it was a good match, and it was for the tag team titles, so it was extra important on that level. The real tag team titles, the world ones, that's in these other various tag team titles that are floating around. So premier match, it went on second to last, and it deserved it.
And... It showed
whatever you got.
The Rock and Roll Express for who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of chicken shit cowards.
Just
yellow.
Really
all the way down their backs.
Baby face.
Yellow. Soon as they won those straps, Morton hightails it out of the ring.
Leaves Robert high
just
and dry.
Run. They tried to sell me that he was thrown out of the ring. Nay, nay, sir. He climbed that fence match on his own and got out of Dodge.
I swear, Robbie, I thought you were right behind me.
Leaving old Deadeyes Gibson to take that brutal beating.
They stole one. They stole one with a roll-up.
They
knew.
Slapped him with that chain, and it whips back and, caught him in the eye.
Khrushchev was in there, man. It was 3-on-2.
Because they beat up Don Dick.
No, they knocked his one lazy eye straight. Yeah. They were doing him a favor, frankly.
They beat up, Donnie Rockadoodle, who was out with him.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
Don Kernodle, maybe?
Oh, either way.
Wrestling name I'm pulling out
of
my ass.
I'm pretty sure it was Don Rockadoodle.
Okay.
He did nothing.
Yeah, either way, he was supposed to be the third to offset the fact that they had Crusher Khrushchev.
No, he did
the
nothing.
Third on the outside, but he was just an old man who could barely fit into his singlet anymore. And
USA!
Yeah.
USA!
He was not a factor
what
in the match.
What a jackass. But yeah, Rock and Roll Express, bunch of bullshit, chicken shit cowards, man.
These
I ain't
guys,
buying it.
A lot of heart. Fought from under.
I didn't see
any
of it.
Didn't give up. They kept going until they finally got that win. That's why they're the champions. I got to say one thing. I got to quibble about these matches right here. Tag team steel cage matches. I don't understand them.
Yeah, why did they have a tag format?
There's no disqualification in a steel cage match, so why would you stand on the outside and wait
That's
for the
what
tag?
I thought.
You're going to get disqualified if you double team somebody? No, you're in a cage.
Yeah, I figured
there's no disqualification.
Tornado match rules or whatever.
Yeah, so anytime there's a tag match in a cage and they're just tagging in and out, I'm just like, this
why,
makes
what are you
no
doing that
sense.
For? Yeah.
No sense.
What are they going to kick you out? Yeah.
So you got to suspend your disbelief for a while.
I was
really
confused to see them step to the outside. It was like,
they did this a lot in the NWA.
What is this?
Tag team steel cage matches, and I never got it. And it always just breaks down into a tornado type thing at the end anyways. Yeah. And so it's just like.
This one held most of its format.
It really did. It really did. That's why I was pretty pleasantly surprised with it. Yeah, I don't know. There's another tag team steel cage match I like from this era. I'll talk about that later.
That'll be good.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Number 5, probably we just got to be talking about the main event because that's the only thing left.
No, I wanted to talk about...
You got
a
different number 5?
I wanted to talk about Baby Doll some more.
Okay.
How big her shoulders looked. But that's okay. No, we could talk Flair and Dusty instead.
Okay, yeah. That's going to be my number 5.
Yeah, no, that's
we
mine
too. Circle back
no,
to
you're
Baby
right.
Doll.
That's mine.
I like those pumps she was wearing. They looked reinforced. Steel reinforced like Dusty's cowboy boot, probably.
Yeah, she was
all the greatest engineers in Minnesota.
Totally, I had a lot of
making her
turkey.
Shoes that could support.
My pumps can't handle my cankles, Dolly.
Oh, that woman.
Beautiful.
She's solid like a Samoan, but she's a white lady. I don't get how it works.
She's mighty, mighty Letting it all hang out.
Genetic freak. That's why they call it the perfect 10.
The perfect 10. The genetic freak.
So, Flair's purple trunks with white boots. Just looks classy.
Oh, he looks classy AF. Yeah. And Dusty, then you get that fucking like hobo, Dusty.
Just like a slob.
The only thing more mismatched than a splotch was his ring wear.
You got
put that on a
just
shirt.
Just like those clean-cut young gentlemen in tuxedos fighting the street people. You got this.
Oh, I got a black knee pad. I got a red knee pad, daddy. I got a green elbow pad, daddy. I got black trunks, daddy. I got a red and white boot, daddy. I got a white boot, daddy.
Professional athlete who's got his color-coordinated gear, and you got his fat, just one of the people opponent who's just in shambles. They look great next to each other. They're, Flair's the raging yin to
Dusty's
jive and yang.
Dusty missed his opportunity. He should have wrestled, instead of like the American Dream Dusty Road, he should have been like the American Dream Patches Rhodes.
Oh, yeah. Just like a hobo gimmick.
Yeah, like, because he's always like.
Nice blanket tied up on a stick.
Yeah, in the 70s and 80s, he was always wearing like patchy clothes
sure
and shit.
Was.
So he could have had that. He could have come out
He was just raiding the dressing room.
He could have come out
to
that
song.
He's
not packing a suitcase. He's on the road like 6 days a week.
He could have come out to that Clarence Carter song, Patches, which is all about like his daddy telling him, like, Patches, like, you got to be the man now.
Yeah,
like, this is it. Because he's always talking about his daddy.
Song.
You know,
like,
very,
really
yeah,
gets
very
to
much so.
Depths of fathers and sons and
like just,
what it means to be a man. I was born in Williamstown, Alabama. Back in New Orleans. I was so ragged, folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it. Deep down inside, he was definitely a lonely kid. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with his shovel in his hands. Education he never had. But he did wonders when the time got bad. The little money from the crops he raised. Now they paid the bills and he made me all right. He could get down the road. So I picked up the fight and the kid fight down. One day, Papa called to his right there, put his hands on the shoulders. See as he said, Mr. Patches, I depend on you, son.
Patches Rhodes coming out all the time talking about being the son of a plumber and just doing it
or
for his daddy.
At the very least, you got Dusty.
Patches.
He's this legendary guy who's been like two or three time world champion, one of the biggest names in wrestling. Like, and then you debut his actual son a couple years later, Dustin Rhodes. Like, why not at least have him be Patches Rhodes?
That's a good
like
call,
that's,
too.
That was your second chance to bring about this Patches Rhodes gimmick, and they still didn't get it right.
Opportunity missed,
the
really.
Natural Dustin Rhodes?
No,
thank
Patches.
You. Patches Rhodes.
Yeah. Dustin Patches Rhodes. Mm. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I would have bought that for a dollar for sure.
But yeah, but back to this match, I guess.
Okay.
I want to say I've seen this match once or twice before.
Oh, yeah, it's a very famous match.
Yeah, it's a famous match.
Shows up on a lot of comps.
But I never, ever noticed until tonight that idiot wooing the entire match.
Woo.
Anytime
woo.
Dusty
woo.
Did anything, woo!
That's mostly
woo.
All I could talk about.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Quite frankly, he, like, ruined the match.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, who, like, I don't know what soundboards or, like, whatever, like, truck this shit was going back to looked
it
like
was,
in 1985.
It was brutal.
Especially Crockett 1985. Like, was there anybody with headphones on listening to the show? Because you got to cut that crowd mic at this point. Like,
kill that one, yeah.
Usually I love when that crowd's mic'd and you could hear stupid stuff, but...
But it's literally that one dude.
And yeah, and he's not
wooing.
Doing like flare woos, like woo!
No,
it's like
going,
short... Woo, 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 and it's like an idiot at a frat party, and it's just drowning out everything, just digging into your goddamn head. And,
unless it was famous Chicago Cubs fan Ronnie Woo Woo Washington.
I don't know how he would have made it
Cubs,
all the way down
woo,
to
win, woo, Cubs,
South Carolina.
Woo, win, woo.
But, other than that, the match was good when I could get him out of my head and just like got some classic Flair powder into the outside and stalling at the beginning, which every single other person on this card pretty much tried to have a big grudge like brawl, even if their match didn't mean to be a grudge brawl. So this is the first time you got somebody doing like a straight one-on-one match. So this first time you're getting some of that good, just classic heel wrestling.
But they still threw a lot of strikes. I would have liked to see a little more wrestling. Maybe
they were slapping the shit out of each other.
I know,
man.
But like you said, too many other people were inserting Grudge when Grudge wasn't necessary, and it just really took a. By the time
big,
you got
storyline, like these are the two who should have been coming at each other.
This
mad.
Was like about what a half hour match, I'd say. I don't think it went 45. I'd say it was more about a half hour,
not that long.
And I mean, so that means you're already like 2 hours and 15 minutes into this show. And there's been so much blood and, like, forced Grudge already that, like, by the time these two were in there, like, leaning into each other with shots, it was, like, lost on you.
Yeah, like, oh, so you're doing stiff chops, big deal. Like, these other guys have been beating each other's heads in with cowbells or stabbing each other's eyes out with broken chairs.
Yeah.
Stealing their sombreros, et cetera, et cetera.
That beautiful sombrero.
Yeah, I guess that's... you know, the weight that the main eventers gotta, you know, have on their shoulders. They gotta come after you've seen everything else. But that's why you don't let the guys in the early matches do everything under the goddamn sun.
You know you got a big
finish.
So your
main event to come out as special. So yeah, that's sort of one of my main points is if you're gonna pull this match out of the card as itself and put it sort of maybe on a comp of like great world championship matches or like maybe just like a history of Flair and Dusty, it stands out as a good match.
Yeah,
like
and I know like when I
title match.
When I originally watched it, it was in those circumstances. Yeah. Like, wow, here's just two guys at the top of their game just putting
going
on a clinic.
Hard.
Yeah. But I had none of those feelings watching it in context with the rest of the show.
After you just watched people cut each other to shreds for 2.5 hours.
I was just like, seriously, I was just like, they're just hitting each other and not even doing shit. And then all of a sudden I was like, why is Flair bleeding?
Yeah. And like, I think after all that, like, granted, Flair's blading is always great. Flair blades in pretty much every big match.
Yep.
Shock of white hair just makes that blood that gets smeared all over him look so great. But
so good.
Especially since this whole storyline was about them trying to break each other's legs. Like, you don't get, you've seen blood in every other match. Like, if you're coming into, like, your main event match and people have been bleeding all night long, you're going to have to give the crowd something they haven't seen yet in order to make it feel like, you know, this match was still worth seeing. So, you know, focus on that leg shit. Tell a leg story. Just do some wicked messed up shit to Dusty's leg or he does it to you.
And they did some leg stuff.
They did some of that stuff, yeah.
They just kind of flirted with it.
I think
not enough of it.
In the context of the card and in the context of the buildup of the storyline, it should have been much more about them just attacking each other's legs.
Yeah.
Or even like early on, like, you know, Dusty's coming back his first match after that broken leg. Make it seem like his leg's been rebroken and he's got to fight through that shit.
Yeah.
And like do a good 10 minutes of Dusty not being able to stand on both legs. That would have been big time drama. But instead, we kind of just got a generic title match, which was a good title match.
Mm-hmm.
But not all it could have been, given all the weeks and weeks of buildup we've been doing around this cowboy boot and this leg. And he doesn't even kick him in the head with that cowboy boot and knock him out like, you know, we've been talking about for a week.
That's
so
Thunderfoot's gimmick.
What's the point of doing all that cowboy boot talk?
Yeah, it didn't look like it was supporting his ankle at all when he was getting it wrenched.
I mean, he looked good during his little like flip-flop and fly dancing.
Yeah,
like,
I guess so.
I think he was pretty well supported.
But hey, what was the big high
wiggling
spot?
His hips.
What was the big wiggling high point of the match?
I don't know. Arn Anderson getting kicked in the head with the boot finally. I was like, oh, finally somebody got kicked in the head with the boot.
Well, that's good too.
And he ran out and interfered.
I'm going to give it to the big time celebration at the end when we finally get an appearance of a Pez Watley.
Yeah, all those good guys come out and they've got the unenviable task of trying to get Dusty's big ass up on their shoulders.
We're large American.
There was some struggling going on there. Dusty could have helped him out a little bit.
A little bit.
Kind of sandbagged
him. Bit.
Yeah, big feel-good moment.
Yeah.
Dusty's the new champ.
He's your champ.
For a couple days.
For the gathering.
So the gathering ends on a high note. At this point, Matt started off a sort of light blue color.
Oh,
it ends
God.
A deep, dark crimson red.
Again, Jackson Pollock painting.
Oh, man.
Just splatters and nonsense everywhere.
Looked like they were fighting on a giant's tampon.
Somebody probably duked in that.
If somebody duked
too.
On that canvas, you wouldn't even
you know,
be able
you wouldn't
to tell.
Know.
It would have just mixed in big time. Starrcade 85, biggest
85.
Goddamn card of the year. So we're going to keep this shit rolling along. We're going to keep talking about Starrcade. after we take a break and do some commercials. Coming back with that three count, and we're going to talk our favorite Starcade matches.
And Lancecade matches.
And maybe Lancecade's going to sneak in there.
Yes.
No, he never wrestled for WCW.
Oh.
Meh. Oh, well.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Star Wars. It's great in the arcade.
Whoa! TIE fighters! Fireballs! Coming right at me! Watch the laser towers! Aim for the tops! Open the cannon out! Use the force! They're coming too fast! It's late! Wait, wait! My shields are gone! All right! I'm going in!
Oh, some game, huh?
Some game!
In a galaxy of video games, there is only one. Star Wars, the arcade game.
I'm here to tell you the story of how Red Pop began. A long time ago, our tribe was hot and thirsty, and the Great Spirit Faygo appeared and said, "Here's a thirst-quenching, great-tasting soft drink just for you, and I call it Red Pop. You can share it with the early settlers when they come to America. It will give them something to give thanks for. And you, running pudgy, be thankful for Diet Faygo."
No, I am, Chief. I am.
It's a three count, three count.
I like that.
Yeah,
that's inspired.
Three count.
That's a good way to get back into this.
That's a good song, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to talk about that song?
Should we talk wrestling? I don't really know anything about that song.
Free Ride. It's Grand Funk.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's got to be produced by Todd Rundgren. He did a lot of their stuff at the time.
Oh, wow. He's prolific.
He
fingers in a lot of pies.
He produced Grand Funk when they did their cover of The Locomotion.
Uh-huh.
He got that idea while golfing. Todd Rundgren got the idea.
Sure.
He gave
I'm
it.
Following.
He gave it to Grand Funk.
Mm-hmm.
He got the idea while golfing
Pronouns,
one day.
Pal.
He got the idea golfing one day with Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper said, "You know, it'd
Alice
be a cool
Cooper
song
like,
to cover."
You know what I've been humming all morning?
Locomotion.
Fucking Locomotion.
Everybody's doing a brand
new.
Ironically, I hate that song.
A few years later, yeah. He was out on the golf course again.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey, you know what? Hey, Tiffany, 80s pop star Tiffany.
Yeah.
Now that we're out here golfing together, I got an idea." Did she do that song too? It was one of those girls.
Yeah, I think so. And then
Jimmy
he also,
as a
sexual innuendo, kept telling her to feed his Frankenstein.
Mm.
And then he just saved that song for himself.
Frankenstein is a metaphor for my wolf man.
Hungry for love.
He's
because it's feeding time.
Yeah, he's an esoteric man. Speaking of the word esoteric, he's saying a lot of weird stuff to a lot of young girls.
Yeah.
It's probably about due for him to take somebody out on the golf course and tell them that they need to do a cover of The Locomotion.
You know what you need? The Locomotion.
Hey, Billy from One Direction. First of all, it was nice of you to come out here on the golf course with me this morning.
Absolutely.
Second of all, I was thinking about something that might take your career to the next level.
It's a little song a couple people have made a couple dollars with.
You know. Call me crazy, but you know, there's sort of a pattern forming here. There's something that works.
You know, Billy,
works
everybody's
forever.
Doing a brand new dance now. speaking of trains, let's get back aboard.
Back on this wrestling train.
Back on those tracks, riding down the rails.
Starcade's a big deal.
Starcade.
So we're going to talk about Starcade. We're just going to keep talking about Starcade. I figured that was a good way to do it. Starcade, I guess, is a combination of the word star and the word arcade.
I have no
idea.
So
is it kind of like a space arcade? Is that what
R's?
It was?
Why are there two R's?
The big wrestling thing of the year every year for Southern wrestling is just what if we were wrestling at a space arcade?
Space arcade. Starcade.
Not like a normal show here. It's like you're traveling to a space arcade.
The space arcade.
Starcades are, I mean, I don't know. I've sort of just accepted it. It's like, sort of just becomes a thing you say. Like, you know, like bands can have really shitty names, but like if they get famous enough, you don't even think about their name anymore. It's just the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard Starcade so many times. I'm just like, oh yeah, Starcade. Yeah, that was a thing. I mean, you like look at it with fresh eyes. Just like, what the fuck's a Starcade?
But back to 85 Starcade.
Okay, the Gathering.
Yeah, they kicked off the whole pay-per-view with a rousing rendition of the national anthem.
Mm, yeah, it was beautiful.
I didn't see one Southern man kneeling, did you?
Well, you know, Southern man's going to keep his head. He's not going to disrespect the American flag like that, except for when he is flying the Confederate flag. That's the only time he's going to disrespect the American flag.
Only time.
Other than that, though, other than flying the Confederate flag, I pity anybody who tries to disrespect the American flag.
A lot of patriotic pride, those Russians.
Down there in the South.
There. But let's talk other Starcades.
Okay.
More importantly, some of our favorite moments in Starcade lore.
Starcade. What did they do it? They did it from 1982 to 2000, I think.
2000 or 2001.
That's a long, illustrious run for... And now back in 2017, if you're going to buy that. But, you know, I'm not going to allow this.
Vince, get over
this
it.
Isn't
Triple
in my
H
Starcade
loves
canon.
WCW.
Oh, yeah. That's probably
where he got his start. Why do you think they're bringing War Games back?
I heard a rumor.
H loves that
shit. There's War Games they're bringing back.
They're doing War Games NXT.
It's three different teams, not two teams, and there's not going to be a top on the cage.
What?
Yeah, they're just using
So it's going to be a fence match?
They're just taking these fucking... Yeah, you might as well just call it NXT Fence Match.
Fence Match.
They're we never use these brand names for anything, so let's just ruin them entirely.
It's just... Destroy them.
Make sure they have no value. That way we can let the copyrights expire and
what
no one will want to touch
dumb.
It.
Shame on you.
We don't have to keep re-upping our rights on these things. We just poison the well.
Yeah.
Poison the well. But there are some good matches that have happened in Starcade. A lot of big-time things. What's your first one?
I'm
gonna
go
going?
It's classic good guy versus bad guy.
Oh, and it's... That makes sense. Not a good guy versus another good guy.
No. This is good guy.
I wouldn't know who to cheer for, quite frankly.
Versus bad guy. These two had fought a couple of times before, but this was for the championship of the King of Cable tournament.
Oh, wow.
At Starcade 1992.
There you go.
I'm talking Sting versus
the Big
Vader.
Big Van Vader.
Vader. It's time. It's Vader time.
Absolutely.
I pretty much... Spell it all out for you. It's classic good guy versus bad guy. Sting was still fast and speedy and slick, but still strong.
Ever King of Cable.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
like, there's been so many King of Cables since then. Like, you know that it was a very illustrious match.
Yeah, this was huge. But it was just more about the styles, man. Like, Vader was just a beast among men, and this was 1992. So you just lost Flair to the F.
We want Flair.
This was their first Starcade.
We want Flair.
Without Flair.
That was rough for them.
So Vader was the big bad guy. I'm pretty sure he had a J.J. Dillon in his corner
one. He had a Mr. Harley Race
was
a corner in him.
Was it Harley?
Harley was a corner in Vader back in these days.
Did he have with bleach blonde hair, though?
Well, it was just kind of gray that he was holding on to.
Yeah, maybe it was Harley. But yeah, it's important that early Sting wrestling is like a majority of what John Cena based most of his career off of.
Mixture of power and speed.
Yeah.
I like it.
He really apes that early
energy.
Sting.
I'm powerful and I can move, but I'm not like doing like crazy shit.
I'm not doing flips, but I can just move around.
Yeah, there you go.
I can jump over you if I need to.
There's a lot of that going on in 92 WCW. Just a lot of great athletes. Yeah. Great roster. Yeah. They lost Flair and their business went to shit, but if you stuck around, you were getting treated.
Mm-hmm. So Sting catches Vader off the ropes into a roll-up, and bam, he's your King of Cable. Yeah.
It was kind of like a reversal into a power slam. Like, it was Vader was coming off that top rope.
Yeah,
it wasn't the greatest, like, clean catch and then over into a power slam.
But Vader's a big man.
I feel like
impressive.
Cena would have gotten that a little bit cleaner,
you kidding
quite frankly.
Me? Oh, yeah.
But it still looked cool. It still had some impact.
Yeah.
Big finish. That's a good match.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sticks out in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go further back. Ooh. 1983. Flair for the Gold was what they were calling that one because, you know, Ric Flair was going for the gold. Him and Harley Race had that big steel cage match, but I think that
match
is kind of boring, so I'm not talking about that fence match. What I'm talking about is a little man named Roddy Piper. You might have heard of him.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
A legend. And Greg the Hammer Valentine.
You're stealing one of mine.
Did a little bit of research here. As, Greg the Hammer Valentine was, you know, I've been talking about it. I just thought he was kind of a boring old man when I was a kid.
That's why I put him on this list,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's been impressing me lately, these episodes we've been watching, and I knew that people talk about this match, so I wanted to go back and watch it. So yeah. I watched it, and I was like, hell yeah, this gets on the list, man. Like, this is good shit.
It's good grudge. It's all the reasons we liked Tully and Magnum T.A.
Two men who just have complete disregard for their own sanity and their opponent's health.
Greg Valentine, back in April, all the way back in April, attacked Roddy and hit him in the ear with the ring bell, causing him to lose his title and 75% of his hearing in that ear.
And his balance. There's a lot of talk about his balance in this match. Right? Like,
and they get into
the typical,
it
like,
in the match.
Yeah, like, ooh, my leg's wobbly, so the guy works the leg. That's the story you get in every match. This is, a guy can't stand straight because his equilibrium's thrown off. That's unique.
He bleeds from his ear in this match.
Love a bladed ear right there.
It's the most believable thing ever. It was that shit you watched as a little kid where you're like, this guy's really hurt. Somebody needs to stop
that's
the damn match.
Shit right there.
Yeah.
And like that Magnum and Tully match, too, there's no wrestling going on here. It doesn't resemble a wrestling match at all. This is a dog collar match, so they're using the dog collar for everything. Like, everything they do. First off, they're doing tug-of-war shit with their necks, just trying to see who has
like
a stronger
match,
neck.
The match starts with Roddy just full-body lurching backwards as hard as he can. To just try to break Greg Valentine's neck.
Staring each other down. They whip each other with the chain.
They're dragging it.
Dig it into each other's eyes.
I was
going to
say
like
the eyes.
It, like, chopping each other's throats with it. Everything they do. Like, if you're going to have two guys, dog collars and chains, just like, why wouldn't everything you do involve just using that chain to win? Yeah. Most of the time, these matches, you get the guys and they're in the dog collar and then. Yeah, they do a couple minutes of dog collar match stuff, but then the rest of the time they're just wrestling and they happen to have a dog collar on. No, this is how you do it. These guys did it right.
I've heard some people poo-poo the ending of the match.
Yeah, because kind of the match ends suddenly and then they just keep fighting anyways, so it's like, why even have the match end then?
But, I mean, it worked, I thought. I mean, he just, the chain was there.
And I think it worked,
he
too,
punched
because
Valentine
it kind of just showed
the
that the match did not matter and who won didn't matter. Like, Valentine loses.
It wasn't about wrestling.
But then he hangs Roddy Piper and tries to murder him after. Yeah. So, like, you think he's worried that he lost at this point? No, he's trying to murder the other man.
Yeah.
And then they just kept fighting until, like, I don't know, both of them could not stand anymore.
Well, the ref finally gets the collar off of Roddy.
Yeah, and they just collapse.
And it's just like, Greg, you gotta leave, bro.
Finally, you know. All
that
the,
was too much.
All the grudge has left their bodies because they were possessed by grudge going into this goddamn thing.
Well, that was on my top three list as well.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I guess you can just go to your number two.
Very similar tastes.
Yeah.
Mine, 1986 Starrcade.
Okay, good. Not on mine.
We got a big tag team title match in a cage, very similar to the Russians versus the Rock and Roll Express from Starrcade 85.
Is this a cage match or a fence match?
But this one's a fence. They started calling it a cage match in 86, so this is the first ever cage match.
Yeah.
This time
up to
we
85.
Got Ole and Arn versus the Rock and Roll Express. Same deal, basically, with those, that Russian match, only instead of the Russians, you got Ole and Arn, who are better workers, so it's a better match.
Too bad Rock and Roll Express isn't it.
Oh, man, I got to say, they showed just a lot of courage in this match against Ole and Arn.
That's a first.
These guys, they go into that classic Anderson limb destruction.
Yep.
First off, they got a... They got Robert, and they just take out his knee. So then Robert can't really wrestle the rest of the match, so then Ricky's got to do it alone. And, Ricky just takes an ass-whooping, like an extended-ass ass-whooping for a long time. Ricky being the best salesman in the game, he's got these ladies in the crowd just begging and crying, and they can't stand it to see him take so much. He's screaming.
Oh, I've seen this match
bumping
before.
Around like
you're not
an
kidding.
Animal.
There's
he's
like
screaming
there's
like he's being murdered.
There's like an overly excessive amount of like women genuinely concerned.
They're losing their shit.
Match.
He's just screaming bloody murder like, oh, they're rabid. So like it's a lot of that stuff that went on in the Russians match, but more so, and the crowd's even more into it. And these are two of my favorite tag teams ever. And
I forgot about
this. Yeah, I just think this is my 80s tag team wrestling. Like, I think back. And even like Robert, that's a really good call. Robert has to stand on the apron for 3/4 of the match because that knee doesn't work up until the very end when like finally he goes out there to like work into the finish and he's still selling that knee the whole time. You never see that shit anymore. Like you don't see a guy have something happen to him in the first minute of a 20-minute match and then he's still like hurt from that 20 minutes later. Yeah.
He's fired up now. He doesn't feel
love
it
that
anymore.
Consistency. Love that consistency.
That's a really good match. I forgot about that one.
Super solid.
Like I said, what reminded me was the women. How much there's plenty of shots of just like women, like full on, just like
old
distraught.
From Tom and Jerry cartoon, just seeing a mouse,
just like distraught, like
losing their shit,
making the people buy into it.
All right, let's move on. Do we got some more?
Well, we each hit two, so I got one left. I'm going to take you to the future. Time called 1996.
Wow.
One of the big things WCW did right
was
their cruiserweight division.
Absolutely.
And this was a very important match because it led the pay-per-view. First match on the pay-per-view.
Right out of the gate, you got to start it with something hot, man.
And it's a practice. People are still doing a lot. The E does it a lot these days where you just get two guys that know how to go, give them some time, and let them get everybody fired up for the start of the pay-per-view. And the other thing I liked about it was Starrcade. And like we talked about, Starrcade was a big deal. And this was a big deal because it was a unification match.
Oh.
You got your cruiserweight champion, Dean Malenko.
Right.
Versus the J Crown champion.
Ultimo.
Dragon. The Ultimo Dragon.
Not the Ultimate Dragon, all those hillbilly WCW announcers called him.
Ultimo.
It's Mexican what they're saying. It's a Mexican word, you hillbillies.
Now, Ultimo was holding 8 different titles at the time. Mm. Some of them were Japanese. Some were Mexican. He was also holding WWF's Cruiserweight Championship at the time.
The light heavyweight title.
That's right.
Forgotten for many years.
So, a lot of people don't realize WWF match or championship being defended in the Starrcade pay-per-view.
How did you let that slide, Vince?
Yeah, you don't.
How did you let that slide? You should have shut this goddamn pay-per-view down. Yeah. I also remember this being a very good match, though.
It was. It was, these guys came out, and it's not what you think, like, the flippy shit, like we've talked about before. It's two guys just coming out there.
Malenko did a great job of grounding those flippy guys at the time.
Absolutely.
Being a base for them.
Absolutely.
So they could do some of that stuff when it was appropriate, but then, like, actually making them wrestle.
And this is the absolute example of that. Ultimo, he doesn't get taken out of his element by Malenko doing that. He comes back with strong mat wrestling of his own.
He's got good striking, too.
And he's got great submission holds. I mean,
most of those guys that wrestled down in Mexico, just not so much in that, like, very weak strikes. But, you know, Ultimo's Japanese.
Yeah.
So he's got that Mexican shit going on.
He's
but also
well-rounded.
He's got that striking shit.
So he's doing the strikes. He's got your grappling. He's got this and that. And he hits a couple moonsaults for, like, you know, your big spot, and like you said, Malenko's the guy that can take it, and in the end, the Dragon turns 8 titles into 9.
Looking down that card, that's
9
also
super
got
titles.
Jushin Liger versus Rey Mysterio.
Oh,
that's a great
cruiserweight
singles match on the same card.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero versus DDP, I remember being pretty decent.
Yep.
And that Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan main event, not great, but the main events were trash in this period. And as far as the main events were going in 96 WCW, that wasn't a bad one. Kicked the shit out of that 97 main event where Sting and Hogan had 2 years of build-up and then just shit the bed with one of the most boring matches you could ever watch.
Yeah.
So
really
going back to my number one.
Yeah. What you got,
going back to Sting. It's the same one you talked about. It's just 1992. King of Cable. This is one of my favorite matches from my childhood. I just
struck a chord
really
there.
Sticks out. Struck a chord. Just started watching wrestling. It was the WWF is the first thing I saw, and then eventually started seeing those magazines in the Walgreens. The mom would take you to the Walgreens, and you'd look through there, and you'd be like, "Wait, there's other wrestling? There's other wrestling too?
Who are these other people?"
So yeah, sort of the mid-'80s. WWF is my main shit, but I'd start looking into who's this other wrestling, and it was WCW. Well, at the time it was Jim Crockett Promotions. Eventually they got bought out to be WCW, but they always just seemed like the GoBots to the WWF Transformers.
I hear
you.
I just
like,
couldn't buy it.
Just like,
I know they had programming on
it's
Saturdays.
It's wrestling, and I like it, but it's, you know, it's not the same. Like, it just kind of looks a little bit shoddy. Like, the guys aren't, like, as in good a shape. Like,
Why is the ring spinning in a circle?
But, yeah, then eventually the tide started to turn for me right here in 92. I really loved WCW's 1992. Thought it was a great year. Like you said, they lost Flair, so they kind of had to retool a little bit. They stopped holding on to that shit. We did the 1985 Starcade. Like, 1989, they were still kind of trying to hold on to that 1985 crew. The 1990, 1991, they're still trying to hold on. Flair even forced them to do new shit.
The territory.
They got a lot of, like, just, like, really athletic guys. You got Cowboy Bill Watts just like making everybody like work hard or you'll get fined, which I liked. I didn't like so much his dumb like over the top rope rules and shit that he instituted.
Yeah,
but
that was stupid.
Yeah. You got fucking Cactus Jack being crazy.
Yep.
You got Jim Ross on commentary.
Good old
Jim. The Dangerous Alliance for like the first half of that year. That was such a great stable, really underrated stable. But Sting was the guy. Sting was a huge star, a legit star, like main eventer. Could have went
hitching
to WWF and
to
main evented them. If there's anybody who didn't look GoBots to the Transformers,
it was Stinger.
It was Stinger, man. Like
head and shoulders, man.
He was my favorite wrestler. Flying Brian was probably my second favorite wrestler this year.
I thought WCW could always do all right with bad guys.
Uh-huh.
But no one had credibility as a face
this
except
was, now
for
that
Sting.
Flair was gone, Sting was kind of finally able to step up for real and be that like big main event baby
there was,
face star.
There
needed.
Was Sting, and then there was everybody else.
Yeah, but yeah, this, you know, Vader, right when Sting seemed to be on top of the world, Vader came in and he beat him for the title, beat him clean.
Yep.
I just remember being shocked by it, and man, they really just built Vader up like an unstoppable monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, this, you know, Sting got his revenge in this King of Cable
King
tournament.
Of Cable.
I just specifically just remember like being so invested in this when I was a kid. Like this match really stands out. I just love how Sting just comes out just like so, just like he knows he's got to hit him with big shit. He's got to hit him fast. He's got to try to figure something out that's going to like hurt this beast. He's doing like capo kicks. He's like hitting the ropes super hard. He does like a cactus clothesline like over the top. They both go crazy like, and he's just like hitting the ropes again and doing big planches, and like this is a desperate Sting throwing out all his big bombs, anything he can to like try and hurt the big guy.
He made his style look real.
Yeah, and then when you like you think like, oh, I think Sting might actually have him. He's figured out how to get Vader. Like Vader shrugs it off and then just starts the beating. And he beats the shit out
the
of Sting,
Mastodon.
Man. He smothers him with his size and just like overpowers him
and
just
Sting
like crushes him for a long
Sting
time.
Sting was a good sized dude.
And then he starts with the punches, man. And he's laying those things in. Ugh. Like he just punches Sting's head like 100 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it's great. And then they do that whole rope-a-dope storyline where Sting is just trying to survive. He knows if he can not get knocked out, eventually Vader will tire himself out because he's a great big fat man. And what do you know? Great big fat man gets tired out. Sting
wins
just
himself.
His first strategy is I got to throw everything I have at him. I got to knock him out quick. That doesn't work. So then his only other strategy is I just have to not die until he runs out of gas.
Well, he tells himself, yeah, I've been killing it with cardio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's paying off.
Pays off because, you know, Vader punches himself out. He takes too long to climb up to that top rope because Vader gets frustrated because he's throwing everything at Sting now and Sting's not down. So he's going to come off the top rope. He's been coming off that middle rope, hurt Sting several times, middle rope splashes. So now he's like finally going to put him away, going to go to the top rope. He's too slow. He's too winded. Sting's able to get up and reverse it. Told a great storyline that match.
Yeah.
And I was just so into those guys as just like the main event guys at that point. What do they have going on in the WWF? This was like post WrestleMania 6. So like WrestleMania 6 was like the peak. But then you go into like WrestleMania 7 when like they're bringing back Slaughter for the main events. And
yeah,
because
like, this is.
I was losing
this is November
interest.
Or December by
this
then.
Is, yeah, this is November. This is back when they were still doing it at Thanksgiving time,
yeah.
Maybe this could have been when they switched it to December. If so, it's close, but
so,
yeah.
So, like, the big Flair Royal Rumble win that's over with.
Yeah, that's been, like, a year ago, yeah. And, like, they're just starting to lose the thread, and at the same time, like, I'm picking up this WCW shit, and I'm, for the first time, like, it was like, I like WCW better than I like WWF now.
Yeah. But like you said, the whole, the frustration thing, the Vader winding himself, like, it's not an unheard of thing, and they still do it a lot today, but you talk about it being done right.
Oh, yeah, and, like, it was believable, too. Like, yeah. Vader really was punching himself, like, into exhaustion.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he wasn't playing tired.
Well,
because
he was,
like,
throwing real punches.
Yeah, he was swinging for the fences, and eventually, man.
And he's just, like you said, he's hitting those second rope maneuvers, and he's doing the whole, like, angry at the ref because it's, you know, it's not a three count, and just, like, pissed at the crowd, and just...
It, yeah, you gotta just believe it. You can't go out there
he doesn't
just,
know
like,
what else
fake
to
everything
do.
Like Terry Taylor does.
He didn't want to go to that top rope, but he's like, oh, I'm gonna have to. That's
you're telling a storyline where
do.
You're getting beaten so bad, all you can do is survive. You gotta take a real beating. If you're telling a story that you've thrown everything you can and you don't have any more in the gas tank, you really gotta tire yourself out. That's how you're gonna sell it to fans. That's how you're gonna make people believe your shit.
Yeah, it's still real to me, damn it.
Still real to me. So, yeah, we had some overlap on that shit. I thought with the whole history of Starrcade, probably there wasn't much worry about that happening and all, but...
Turns out we like a lot of the same shit.
It is what it is. Man. I thought about also putting that Road Warriors Arn and Tully match from 87 in Chicago on. That was hot as shit, because that Chicago crowd...
The Bears!
...really wanted the Road Warriors to win.
Well, hometown
Tully and
heroes.
Arn really took a big beating, and, like, they were rabid, and then at the end, like... The Road Warriors did win. Everybody in Chicago was so happy. But then the second ref was like, nope. At one point, I saw Hawk throw Arn over the top rope. He gets disqualified. So then they pulled the fucking belts off them after the big ass beating, and the crowd was just deflated.
Yeah.
And then Arn and Tully were so smug. I tried to think of something to do from that 90s period, but it was good matches, but like. It's all just like mid-card shit. It's just two guys having a good match.
Right.
There's nothing that's like a big built story where like you get the story good and like you get the match that's good.
The
and
also one,
like it
the
feels
one storyline that they built up the right way, like you discussed earlier, culminated
Hogan.
In one of the biggest clunkers ever.
Oh, what a fart like, in the wind that final blow-off match was.
I don't even remember it.
No.
Except that it's shit.
You're moving on to, like, Nash and Goldberg and shit, and at that point, it's just like, oh, they had something and they lost it.
Oh, it's gone
time
now.
To elevate your mid-card guys who have great matches to be in actual storylines rather than just being in random matches. And that never happened.
So be sure to tune in next week and join us while we discuss the entire New Blood run.
I cannot get into
we're gonna bring
late
in,
90s WCW.
We're going to bring in the foremost expert of New Blood in the entire United States.
I didn't know anyone was an expert on that.
Davey R. Scheister.
Oh, that guy. Your yuppie brother is a big fan of that angle, huh?
The NB stands for New Blood.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out what the FU stands for, brother.
I'm going to have to bing that. I'll get back to you next week.
Hogan.
When we're talking primetime wrestling, back to the WWF.
Going back north.
Episode 64 from 5/1986. It's going to be a bit of a come down after this Starrcade high, but you know.
We're riding high.
We're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to try to pick a good three count maybe so it doesn't seem like such
a... We get the weasel back.
Yeah, that's good for us.
We get Heenan, so that's good. So thank you, friends. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
In 1985,
because it's just the beginning of November now.
Yeah, not Thanksgiving yet.
No, it will be eventually.
You know what's going to happen, though? When we get to that Thanksgiving, I'm going to eat like a baby doll portion. I'm going after those yams, brother.
Think those shoulders can handle it, pal?
Going after those yams.
You're writing checks, man. I don't know if you can cash them.
I'm going to poop until Christmas.
Oh, baby.
Baby
oil.
What?
Baby oil and blood, Starrcade 85.
Starrcade 85. But this podcast, not baby oil and blood, what is it?
Oh, baby oil and blow.
Yeah.